Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is the show Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Tonight's broadcast, we're going to be broadcasting simultaneously. We're going to be simulcasting on Facebook Live. And just like to welcome the Facebook Live audience. If you're tuning in, I'd like to thank you for joining us for tonight's episode on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to be simulcasting live here on Facebook Live also. So this is going to be the 1,359th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank and welcome everybody for joining us here tonight. Right now, I got the studio board up, so you're going to be seeing me looking around. That's because I'm going to be checking on the studio board as I am broadcasting live here. Like I said, we're on Blog Talk Radio. The website is www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can also call in at 319-527-6091. Also about our call-in number, sometimes you may get a message that you'd be charged 1 cent a minute. We're not sure the reasoning of this message, but, you know, I'm not sure if you actually will be charged 1 cent a minute, but that's a problem that we're working on right now. We'll, you know, soon see if we can get a solution. Talking about solutions, you know, our topic tonight is Are We There Yet? And it's a continuation on my topic of the last time I was on the air was Black Wall Street. Before I move on, I just wanted to say something about Blog Talk Radio itself and also T-Mobile as a phone company. Now, I know that they, you know, they say that they're charging 1 cent a minute, but real reasons, I'm not sure. But I do know that one thing is not only along with T-Mobile, but there's a lot of other phone companies that are expressing that they have 5G capability, which they don't. And, you know, the reason why they're going around saying that they have 5G capability, I'm not sure why they're saying they're doing that. But as of right now today, they don't have the infrastructure or, you know, the technical support to support a 5G system. I'm not going to get it all into that, but just to, you know, let everybody know how, you know, companies lie and they go along with a lie and saying, hey, if you say you got 5G capability, we're going to say the same thing. So, you know, just to put that out there, no particular reason why I just, you know, I said that. I think that was on the top of my mind. So let me just get back and we're going to go into our thinking. Also, I'm going to give you the scripture that we're going to have. We're going to be covering 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. And, you know, as I said, we're going to integrate this into the topic of Black Wall Street and Are We There Yet? And the reason why I'm going through this particular piece, time piece, which was 100 years ago, is because this has been a major tragedy that was perpetrated on black people. And, you know, the whole thing is they want it swept under the rug. They don't even mention it in any kind of history books because this happened in 1920, which is 100 years ago. And even though you may say it's 100 years ago, but if you listen to the particular facts that are coming out, you know, these are the same things that's happening right now today. You know, it's the same thing over and over again. And so what track a little bit from a little bit of information of what we went over with last time I was on the air, which was the city called Oso. Now, Oso was a black run town organized by a guy named July Perry. And one day when they had the, you know, they wanted to go vote, the whole town was tore down, set on fire. And it ended with the lynching of July Perry, which right now, today, you know, we still don't have much information of, as far as what happened, who was the actual perpetrators of the act of, you know, slaughtering the town. which was a total of 30 gig. And 3 years later, we're going to talk about the town of Rosewood. And the reason why I'm mentioning Rosewood, and that's, you know, that happened 97 years ago, but this was a different time, because this, most of the citizens of Rosewood were ex-soldiers. They fought overseas. They fought for freedom overseas, and they came back, and they're facing discrimination. And, you know, the only thing they had to do is, hey, let's just build our own town. Let's just be self-sufficient. Let's just, you know, make the best of what we have. If we're going to survive on the land, we're going to make it, you know, together as a family and as a community. And, you know, what ended up happening is it was almost the same situation what happened in Oso. And what it was basically it was a white woman who claimed to be beaten by a black man in a nearby town called Sumner. And this is all happening in Florida. I didn't mention it. This was in Florida. So Rosewood had became self-sufficient. They had their own bank, you know, and, you know, certain things started creeping in where they started feeling uncomfortable dealing with the citizens of Sumner. Like, they would come to their bank, they would, you know, present loan propositions, and in the end, when it was time for the banks to collect, you know, they reneged on the offer, whether it was for, you know, they were putting up a house or they were putting up pieces of land or just a certain percentage of the businesses that they invested in. And that, you know, the neighboring town of Sumner. So what happened was Rosewood just became, you know, self-sufficient, where they actually cut themselves off from the town of Sumner. They didn't like it, and so thus you have, you know, the Susan Smith, you know, effect, which is even though this, you know, her situation happened in the 80s, and we're talking about a situation that happened in the 1920s. But, you know, throughout the years in history, you always hear about a white woman, you know, constantly claiming that, you know, black man did this or black man did that. And, you know, they're up in arms. You know, this is how we, you know, we lost, you know, a lot of young black lives because of a lie told on us by, you know, someone who just wanted to make a claim, you know, whether it's covering up for someone else. And as in the case of this white woman, you know, as far as the articles I read, you know, I don't have her name, but we do know that she, you know, either her husband beat her or something happened, whereas though she did have evidence of being beaten. But, you know, as far as, you know, a black man doing it, you know, like I said, these two towns, you know, became totally isolated from one another because of just the racial tensions that was going on at the time. And like I said, these are soldiers or former soldiers that have come home, and so they know how to use firearms and things like that. So these guys knew, well, the residents of Sumner knew that these guys, you know, it's not going to be a walk in the park. This is not going to be an Oso. This is, you know, something we want to be prepared for. So the sheriff, you know, of Sumner, gathered a couple guys, and they said, hey, listen, we know that you're hiding this guy, which they were. And as a matter of fact, there was no such guy. So, you know, in the meantime, you know, the residents of Rosewood, they knew that trouble was coming. And, you know, some kind of way it was an incident where two white men wound up being killed, and, you know, that wasn't the end of the story. What they did was they went hundreds of miles to gather, you know, a mass of Ku Klux Klansmen, militiamen, and basically they came in and they destroyed and leveled, you know, Rosewood. You know, they wound up in total, you know, it was, you know, 8 people dead, 2 white people and 6 black men. And the whole town destroyed again, you know. And you know, we say, you know, what's the situation? What's the outcome? It's the same thing as today. You know, nobody has ever been brought to justice. Nobody has actually been repaid any reparations or, you know, any of the sort. You know, it's been talked about, but it never was, you know, a situation where they actually had a chance, you know, to fight. They actually had to defend, and, you know, they moved from swamp to, you know, other desolated areas until they eventually made it to safety, those that could, and those that, you know, eventually had, you know, had made it to safety. And it was because of, you know, let's not say that, you know, all the people were all bad. There were a couple of people who harbored some of the citizens from Rosewood, and, you know, and they did, you know, they defended them basically with their life because they were in danger also. So, you know, along the way, you know, I know that it's, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, take in, you know, what's happening without, you know, some kind of anger being behind it as you listen to, you know, the stories, as you hear, you know, some of the information coming, that how can you just totally destroy someone that has established something just because you don't like them? And, which, you know, that seemed to be the case, at, you know, with the town of Rosewood. With the town of Rosewood, you know, and I, you know, I always wondered, you know, was there ever a time where we had a chance to, you know, have our own, establish our own? That was our time there. The closest thing we have right now today that's close to Rosewood is, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, where it's, even though it may seem that it is a whole black town, it's not. It's only 60%, you know, the population is only 60% black. But there are a lot of establishments and a lot of businesses that have, you know, thrived in that area. And, you know, we're just glad that, you know, we have, you know, we have, you know, some kind of a sort of establishment. But can we do better? Yes, we can do better. You know, economically, you know, since 1865, you know, we were 1% of the national gross recipients of the economy. And right now today, you know, as far as, you know, black-owned businesses or black businesses, we're 3%, which is, you know, with, you know, in the span of 100 years, that's not much development. And you always wonder, you know, how can we develop, you know, develop better economically? How can we, you know, actually get a better financial standing in the country where it seems it has, you know, so many different opportunities, but, you know, it seems like we're the ones that, you know, get a paycheck like Shaq, but we're not the ones writing the paycheck. And real quickly, how you doing, Cheryl? And I said the last time I was on, I was going to wear something nice, so I got this Miles Morales Spider-Man jacket on. I pretty much like it. So, yeah, that's, for anybody that's familiar with Spider-Man, Miles Morales is the Spanish version of Spider-Man. And pretty big fan. All right. And so real quickly, if you're online or if you're listening, I'd like to thank you. Anytime you want to call in, if you're online, you can call in at 319-527-6091. And so we're going to go into our scriptures, what we have today. And basically we're talking about Elijah. So what we're going to do is we're going to be reading 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read that scripture. And then we're going to get into talking about Elijah. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to read, starting at chapter 1. Now, Elijah, the Tribhite from Tribish of Galilee, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who I serve, there will be neither dew or rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I will have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. went to the Kiev Ravine east of Jordan and stayed there, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zephrah in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zephrah. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she's going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family, for the jar of flour had not been used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry. In keeping with the word of the Lord, Elijah spoke him. Okay, and sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cries, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. And that was 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. And we just thank God that we received this message. And, you know, one of the parts that I like about everything is that, you know, no matter where we seem to, have, good fortune, it's like the same thing, we can turn on that and say, oh, look what you've done. But, in reality, it's like we can't have things our way. We can't have things our way all the time. And we can't also blame the things that we get, and then also we can say it's a curse. We have to accept things, the way they come to us. And I just want to go over, a couple of things. So, basically Elijah, when he traveled on his journey, or on his way to his journey, Elijah, basically say that to Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be any rain for years except at my word. And, he was instructed to go eastward and, basically go to the brook and he would be able to drink water. And one of the things that, that I like there, even though he was able to drink from the brook, but the birds, the birds brought him bread and meat, day and night. I know you're probably just saying, well, where's the amazing, where's the blessing? Well, I know anytime I'm around any kind of birds, they're trying to eat the food I got. They're not, you know, they're not trying to give me food. You know, they're not trying to give me any kind of seeds or anything like that. They basically are, you know, trying to take, you know, whatever I have, whether I'm willing to give it or not. You know, they're actually, you know, they're there to, you know, basically look to get food for me. And that's one of the things of the miracles that, you know, we receive. And, you know, to most people, I don't know. I don't know about you, but to me, when you hear about birds, you know, just bringing food and, you know, and meat, wow, you know, what an awesome guy we have. You know, and it happened, you know, basically, eventually that book dried up. And, you know, God also gave him, you know, another, you know, commandment, you know, arise and go to Zephyr. And he also gave him very thorough instructions and let him know that he's going to meet a widow. And, you know, she's going to, you know, you need to, you know, get a hold of her, and that's where your next blessing is going to come from. The next blessing was that her cupboard was basically empty for flour and oil. And there, that didn't run out. And, you know, basically here is where I want to just, like, separate some things. And this is what happens in our life. We talk about, you know, the things that we don't have or the things that we want, but we don't sit there and examine the things that we have. When we sit and examine, you know, the things that we have and we make the most of it, that's where, you know, our blessing is. You know, this woman had a cupboard that was bare, and she was, you know, talking about, hey, that I only have flour and I have oil. And basically she was trying to say, hey, listen, I would love to feed you, but, hey, I got to look after myself. You know, when, you know, now there's something called the laws of attraction that I just want you, you know, want you to understand. Now, when you cry about something instead of just concentrating on what you have, like if you get a bill come in the mail, it says, oh, man, here comes the phone bill. You know, next thing you know, you turn around, gas bill, electric bill, insurance bill. You know, we are not designed to be in this loop where we're constantly paying bills and, you know, where we got to work to pay for this. We're not designed to be that. God didn't make us for that. What he does want us to do is to concentrate on what we do have and ask for what you need, which is a life of abundance. You know, I pray all the time for a life of abundance, and I'm not worried about any kind of debt or anything that comes in the door, because if I get a life of abundance, there's nothing for me to worry about. I don't have to worry about an electric bill. I don't have to worry about a gas bill. I don't have to worry about an insurance bill, car payment, house payment, or any other payment. Once God provided me a life of abundance, there's no worry. There's nothing I have to worry about. You know, why am I worrying about what comes in the door? I just take care of it. You know, and that's what we all need to do. We need to, you know, pray for a life of abundance where we're not worried about the thing that's gonna happen next is whatever happens next. You know, we all are, you know, designed and programmed to constantly, you know, pay bills, buy the stuff that we see that catches our eye on TV. You know, and to me, you know, it's like different styles that have come and gone. You know, back in the day, they had the afro. You know, if you didn't have an afro, you know, you wasn't cool. You know, and after the afro, it was a Jerry curl craze for a while. I mean, I never liked the Jerry curl, but it didn't mean that that wasn't the style. If you didn't have a Jerry Curl, it wasn't cool. You know, then it was the box cut. And it goes on and on. And those are the things that are, that's all the trends and the stuff that, you know, we get caught up in. And it's just like everything else. It goes on from sneakers. You know, I remember they had the, I guess I'm going to be telling my age, but I remember they had the New Yorkers, you know, the fat shoestrings. Then they had no shoestrings. And then now it's back to regular shoestrings. So, you know, and the thing is that I want to let you know is that, you know, the things that worked yesterday might not work today. You know, the avenue of, you know, what we did yesterday, you know, it's not something necessary that we can use today. You know, it's kind of like when, you know, when you're growing up and, you know, you go to school and the teacher asks you for your homework. Well, since the time of teaching public schools, I guess, you know, there's always going to be the kid that's always going to be constantly looking in their book bag, constantly coming up short of where their homework is, and they misplaced it, dog ate it, I don't know. But, you know, that's us. You know, we're constantly going to be, you know, the way we think about it and the way we, you know, we come to terms of things, we're always going to be that kid that's going to be looking in their book bag and just not having, you know, having the homework because we know we didn't do it. And instead of saying, hey, we didn't do it, or, hey, you know what, I didn't have time to do it, you know, sometimes that's, you know, the more we try to, you know, fend off, the more we try to just come up with, you know, or think of an excuse, or even just act like we're going through the motions of, you know, hey, I actually had it, it's just not here, I left it on the couch, I left it on the table, I left it, you know, somewhere, but, you know, just, you know, coming up short, you know, no one just wants to say, hey, listen, I came up short, I didn't do the homework, or, hey, listen, this is more complicated than what I was able to handle, and so I just didn't do it at all. You know, and sometimes it's kind of funny how we just don't want to have that final, like, that final thing where it says, you know, hey, listen, this got the best of me. You know, I had to just, you know, there's no way I know how to start or finish this, or I can start and I can't finish it, or, you know what, I just need a little help. You know, I don't know what's wrong with saying I need a little help, but that's the part, you know, we have to get over. So, we're going to go back and let's start looking at basically how the technology that we have now, how many of us remember the first iPod or what's it called? A Walkman. How many of us remember Walkmans? It was big. You know, basically you had a cassette player, it was strapped, you know, you could strap it to your belt. And they actually were bigger than cell phones now. You know, but back in those days, if you didn't have a Walkman, you know, you weren't in, you know. And how many remember the first computers and how they had the big old monitors? And if you look at them right now today, you know, they're so compact and, you know, they're so, you know, more sleek than what we ever had, you know. And talk about the cell phones. The first cell phone we had, they were big as a brick and heavy as one, too. and not only was that cell phone was awkward, you know, the cell phones that we have right now, they can fit in our pocket. They can basically fit anywhere you need, and they're some even smaller. You know, the technology, you know, the point of the technology, you know, it keeps getting better and better. You know, who knows where it'll go. But if we, and the reason why I mentioned this technology, if we keep, you know, putting ourselves in a box where we're not able to move on, you know, if we base our life on how technology is and how everything and gadgets are just getting better and better, you know, like right now, you know, after you get the new iPhone, the iPhone 12 is out, you know, next thing you know, and by the time, in 3 months' time, it's going to be iPhone 13, you know. So not only does technology, you know, it advances and it gets, enhanced, and it becomes more effective. Basically, this goes back to where Elijah was. He found himself in a place where, he had to, where he needed to enhance basically not only his ministry, but everything around him. What was working before was not working for him, at that time. And it's just like the styles changes and the technology changes. There are different methods and different ways where you can affect, change. And how to be effective in your changes is to open, your mind and to open up to things. Because, I know everybody thought the Wright brothers were crazy when they're talking about they were going to make an airplane. Everybody was thinking ground-wise. They were thinking about the Model T car. They were thinking, things ground-based. They weren't thinking about anything airborne. But the Wright brothers, they kept at it. They had the tenacity because they knew that, the ideas they had were sound, that it was actually going somewhere. And when they didn't effectively make it, it's just like a lot of things that people do. They improve on certain technologies, certain things, and we can't be having that thought of being greedy and saying, I'm not going to develop this technology, or I won't do this because somebody's only going to make it better and they're going to get rich off of it. We can't be afraid to be, the first to do some things, And, I agree. Sure, I see that she commented me that being honest with people is good, and being honest with yourself is even better. Comment, I agree with you. I agree with you. Pretty good comment there, Cheryl. And so moving on right along, why are there so many different methods and so many different ways? Because we're very much, alike, but we're so much different. And, some of the things today that, that are outdated, somewhere in a third world country, that's very much, I know a couple of Africans that they try to get as many VCRs, VCR tapes, and they ship them back home because back home, just as well as though that technology was just as good and it was, to us back in the day, to them, that is the technology they have, is what they're, what they're getting, sit there from their, friends and family members that made it over here in America. They're actually, they're the ones that's actually reaching back, So, we're looking at things right now, and just the development of television, and if you think, just a couple of short years ago, and I'm saying maybe 10 or 15 years ago, televisions just started getting refined where they're actually better, and they're better and also lighter. It's like the floor model TVs that we used to have back in the day was so funny. You can take a aluminum can and you can squeeze it and you can change the channel. We had like a clicker. Now we got remotes that are so well refined, and you do just about anything. You can connect almost anything to your TV. And before you had to take like a VCR, you had to take a cord and you had to plug it in, and sometimes you can get good reception with that as far as what you were looking at. Sometimes you have to fine tune it. I had me and my brothers and sisters, we had TVs that we had to slap in order to get the pictures. Now, it's like the pictures that we get and the broadcast we get, the reception is instantly, almost as soon as you turn the TV on. I remember we used to have TVs that had, we had to warm up. They had to warm up first before it would be like a orange spot in the middle of the screen, and it starts widening up, and then all of a sudden, the picture starts coming in. You know, like I said, you know, from where we came to where we are now as far as technology, you know, everybody should put a personal investment in themselves to advance the same way. You know, if we took the time out and actually look at our personal advancements and say, you know, this is the way I want to, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to progress. I want to progress as we develop this technology. You can develop yourself the same way, but you have to actually have the conscious effort to want to do that. And, you know, and excuse me, I have to take a sip or something. But in order for us to do that, you know, we have to train our mind, and we have to train up, you know, people around us. Because a lot of things that we do, it don't fit with our crowd of either people we hang with or people that we know or people just basically surround us. Sometimes you have to move yourself out of your surroundings so you can get a better idea, a better thought of, you know, how, you know, you want to progress and you know, in life and basically a lot of other stuff. A lot of times we just can't, you know, carry our friends over. Everybody can't go everywhere. And, you know, I want to go back to Elijah and I want to go back to where the ravens were actually, and it wasn't just birds. I know I referred to them as birds, but it was actually ravens. And the funny thing about it is ravens are carnivorous, and they're very greedy. And for them to actually bring Elijah, you know, food and you know, bread and meat and not eat it or try to take it away, they actually were giving it to him. So, you know, when some unusual circumstances happen, you know, in your life, you have to understand that they are. You have to thank God for them because, you know, a lot of times we get, you know, we get things and we just brush it off as, oh, okay, I can't believe that happened. Well, you know, if you believe in miracles, well, guess what? That's what happened. You know, sometimes there's a lot of small miracles in our life and we just brush it off as if nothing happened. You know, you ever go somewhere where someone says, well, we don't usually do this or we don't usually do that, but in this case, we'll do this. Or if, you know, if somebody says, you know, for some reason, hey, you know what, I don't need this anymore. Hey, you know what, I just paid for this here. You can have it, you know. Or, you know, it could be several different scenarios where there's a miracle happening where you just brush it off as just good fortune. Well, you know, basically, how can I put this? Yeah, basically, we want to believe that, you know, our life is just one seamless, you know, scenario with one thing after another without, you know, breaking stride where we just, you know, we just go about our lives where, you know, hey, there's no miracles, or if there is a miracle, you know, I made it happen. Or, oh, I've done this, or, you know what, I just lucked up. There's no such thing as luck. And I just want to let you know, it's a such thing as a miracle. And we all have small miracles each and every day, but we're not happy with them. We're not grateful with them. We just think that, you know, that's just part of life, and that's what happens. You know, and the thing, and the small thing about this is we don't know all the small miracles that happen that we don't know about it that helps us. Like we walk across a street, and if we'd have walked across that street a second earlier, we'd be hit by a car. We don't know when someone annoyingly distracts us, and then we continue about our business, and we find out that if you left 5 minutes early, you would have been in an 8-car pile. You know, or if you were left a little later, you know, you avoided an accident. There's so many different things that we just don't even pay attention to and just say, hey, you know, just go on about life. Like, you know, a miracle didn't just happen. You know, and we just brush it off as, oh, I just got lucky. Really? Well, how many times does luck strike? You know, how many times in the course of the day that, you know, just from the spirit of God and, you know, either your mom's prayers or somebody's praying over you, that disaster didn't happen. You know, disasters can strike at any time, at any second. Anything can be a disaster. Anything can be a disaster happening. And, you know, the only thing that keeps us out of harm's way is because that's what, the way God designed it. So let me get back to Elijah real quick. And so, you know, now the one thing, I just want to make everybody understand that he basically was, he's been directed the whole time, step by step by God, and, you know. And so that takes for basically for me and a lot of people I know, they fail to follow instructions. You know, they really fail to follow instructions. And especially when someone says, hey, listen, and it seems like the more time you say, hey, this is important, I need you to pay attention to this, it seems like that's when they just zone out and just do whatever. And that's the good thing about how, you know, you hear how Elijah started going on, that he's not altering anything that God told him. He's basically following his directions, you know, and basically when he gets there and, you know, like the book dried up, you know, basically he's going to just stay there and say, hey, what's, you know, and that's the good thing about, you know, Elijah, when he knows that, you know, hey, whatever happens next or whatever dries up or whatever is not there, I know God's going to give me another direction to go in, and that's where I'm going to go at. So, you know, basically, you know, and a lot of people are not going to hear this. Basically, the well's going to dry up. Basically, all these miracles is happening that you're not paying attention to, and, you know, you're not listening to what's next direction. You know, you're going to, you know, and some people, instead of what Elijah did was sit there and, you know, wait for his next instruction, some people may just get up on your own and go without even any kind of directions or any kind of instructions and do what they want to do. You know, some people would have probably sat there and tried to, would have tried to dug up and try to see if they could dig up more water from, you know, where that brook dried up at. Or they may have just went to a whole totally different direction without even getting any kind of instructions, without even asking, hey, you know, what's my next step? Or, hey, I'm stuck here, you know, where do I go? You know, and if you're honest, you know, you're going to face basically a dry season, you know, to say in your life, you know, will you stop, you know, and take the time out to say, even without getting instructions, or just asking and say, hey, what do I do? Where do I go next? You know, we just can't just, you know, hey, what's up, Johnny? That's a good friend of mine. Used to work at U-Haul. Nice to see you too, Johnny. And thanks for listening. And so, yeah, real quickly, getting back to, you know, what I was saying was that, you know, we just can't go on with life, you know, thinking like, hey, listen, I didn't receive a miracle or I didn't get this and I didn't get that. You know, try not waking up. See how that goes. You know, and I'm going to tell you that, and that itself is a miracle. You know, in the midst, you know, all the effects of, you know, the COVID-19, I know it's affected a lot of people, either financially, physically, mentally, and where, you know, we just are just, you know, people just not going to be here just for the simple reason that, you know, we can't get this thing under control. I know they say they have a vaccine, and a lot of people are pushing, especially black people, to, you know, get the vaccine. But the thing is that after all, you know, we've been through, you know, and you're just saying, I don't care who takes it. I don't care if, you know, Barack Obama takes the, you know, the vaccine. I'm not taking it because there's so many things this government has done and covered up where we just don't trust them. And they want to, you know, they're also sitting there constantly wondering why that, you know, that we just, you know, that we're not willing to be participants. Yeah. We're not, and for good reason. You know, there's so many different, you know, not only the Tuskegee Institute and all that, there's so many different places where, you know, they have just, you know, give us not a good reason to just trust them. You know, to be trusted, you know, especially with something like the government and how they're so capable of covering up you know, so many different scenarios, so many different there's so many different scandals. You know, that alone, they're especially when a whole police department can cover up, you know, murders and things like that. You know, don't forget, there's a Rampart scandal that never has been unraveled, or, you know, it's never been truly investigated the right way. By the time investigators to actually find out what happened and how things went, you know, and what happened, it was 20 years later. Where all the evidence died, everything dried up, where, you know, nobody actually, you know, got a chance to, you know, come to justice for their crimes. Real quickly right now, we want to go into the Call of Salvation. This is the part of the program where I help you, well, I introduce you to the Lord, where you can just, you know, you can join, you know, you can join him, you can invite him into your heart, you know, basically. So you can invite him to your heart. So real quickly, if you have not invited Christ into your life, simply let you know, you can do what I did, which was basically, you know, I was at a point where I just couldn't understand why a lot of things were going on. I just couldn't. So I just basically said, hey, you know what, let me just stop and just, you know, not let life take over me. Let me just get some kind of control of my life. And the first part I did was I asked God to, you know, to accept me in his heart. And, you know, and I accept him in my heart, and, you know, wholeheartedly just decided to, you know, just live my life right and, you know, be free from, you know, a lot of the sinful ways, and to just draw me away from that, and just to keep me forever, you know, a part of my life. And you can do so too. You can use your own words. You can say it like you want to say it. You know, one of the things I said was that, you know, from now on here, you know, I'm going to stop everything and live my life through Christ. And, you know, and spread that joy and that, you know, that wisdom and that knowledge, you know, and not, you know, live my life in sin. And, you know, you can do it any kind of way you wanted to, but make sure you do it and let someone know. You know, you can tell your mom, you can tell your brothers and sisters, and you just say, hey, I turned my life over to Christ. And once you do that, you're saved. And the next step, I suggest you do is find a Bible believing preaching sanctuary that'll nurture you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that sanctuary, that's why we're here on Purpose Kingdom Network, why we broadcast almost every night, where you can feel free to, you know, celebrate the Lord until you find that church home. And I know most churches are not open right now, but, you know, you can Zoom or, you know, right here, like on Facebook, where you can just go ahead and probably try something out. You know, that's like one of the best ways you can do that. So we just thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements real quickly, and then we'll get back to our program. We're going to just wrap things up. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for tonight's broadcast. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. Also, let's see. We have an upcoming revival, and it's going to kick off on December 25th. All the programs are going to start at 9 p.m., except for the one that's going to be on December 31st, and that's going to start at 11 p.m., where we can just pray our way and do worship and praise into 2021. So I'm going to read the lineup so that way you know who's going to be on which day. So on December 25th, it's going to be Minister Bernard Merrill. On December 26th, it's going to be Minister Dominic Hudson. On December 27th, it's going to be Reverend Arthur Burgess III. On December 28th, it's going to be Reverend Aaron Williams. And on December 29th, it's going to be Minister Arthenius Jackson. On the 30th, it's going to be Minister Rob Hudson. And on the 31st, it's going to be Pastor Toy Daly. And don't forget, that program will start at 11 p.m. And don't forget, we're going to be bringing in the new year. Okay, we just like to also let everybody know with God's will, God's blessing, you know, we're going to be broadcasting tomorrow night at 9, and it's going to be Peripheral Visions with Sister Antonia Batts. It is usually good. She's our information guru, and we usually have fun with her spreading the knowledge that, you know, she gives out each time she comes on. And don't forget, her program comes on once a month. And don't forget, she'll be here broadcasting at 9 p.m. And don't forget to tell a friend or family member that she's going to be broadcasting. All right? And so we're going to wrap up some things, and then we're just going to end our program. All right, let's see. All right, so basically we're talking about miracles and miracles happening and, you know, the understanding that, you know, we're not just breezing through life. You know, we're just, you know, we're going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen, and by acknowledging, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, that we're receiving and how we're receiving. You know, I know there's a little fact that I just want to just point out that, you know, and it may or may not be true, but, you know, the message that we send and the message that we receive, you know, it very much affects, you know, the outcome of the people, you know, that we're involved with, whether it's our children, whether it's, you know, our friends and family members. You know, and so I'm just going to go right back to 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm going to concentrate on chapter 9. So when he instructed Elijah to go at once to Zephar, you know, in the region of Sidon, and stay there, you know, I have directed a widow, you know, to supply you with food. Now, he didn't tell him what kind of food. He didn't say how his response was, you know, and basically, at that point, you know, you have to ask yourself, are we there yet? You know, because Elijah has been doing, you know, a couple things, you know, and so, you know, you have to see the blessing that basically once Elijah got there, the blessing, you know, it wasn't there before, you know, he got there, but God, you know, once he got there, God commanded the blessings, you know, and also he actually provided him. Or, you know, through him, you know, and by him asking God, a miracle. You know, how many times do you know, in the Bible where, you know, someone was raised from the dead once they were dead? You know, it's not many. And, you know, so, you know, basically, you know, what I was getting at in the beginning is, you know, the lady, the widow, did not see Elijah basically as a blessing. But she also cursed him for, you know, when her child died. Like, what did you do? You know, and, you know, what kind of man of God are you? And you come here and my child's dead, you know? And it's, you know, and it's not the, you know, that's the wrong response from her, but that's the basic general response we get from people who just don't, you know, understand and don't really want, you know, to accept the fact that, you know, we all can't always receive miracles and the benefits of, you know, just going about life without, you know, taking time out to, you know, ask God for, you know, either forgiveness, asking for, you know, for help, or even asking him basically for just general stuff that you need and you don't need. But he gives it to you anyway, and you receive it anyway, and you don't even say thank you. You know, and so when the widow realized that, you know, her son died, and she blamed Elijah and basically said, what kind of man of God you are, what kind of God you have? Well, then when he brought the boy, you know, and he prayed and asked God for him to come back, and it happened, you know, she didn't, you know, you didn't hear anything about her thanking him. She basically said, oh, wow. She's like, okay, Dad, your God is awesome. You know, and you know, I guess at some point you can say that's good enough, you know, but, you know, sometimes we're not grateful of some of the things that we're granted until it's gone, you know, and basically, you know, literally and figuratively till the well is dried up, And that's where I'm going to ask you, are you there yet? You know, are you there? Are you at the point where, you know, when you need help, you can ask for help, or that you accept the miracles that happen in your life, you know, or acknowledge them, you know, or you're going to continue to ignore them. So, with that being said, I'm going to give you end tonight's broadcast. As always, I have fun doing this. I like doing this. And anytime I get opportunity, I'll be on the air. So don't forget, we have an upcoming revival starting on the 25th. Feel free to tell your friends and family member. We'd like to have you, and we hope that, you know, we help out somebody and we can just basically just have fun. I can't imagine doing anything else tonight but spending time here on the air. I'd like to thank everybody that called in, everybody that checked in on Facebook, and good to hear from some people. So with that being said, I'm going to be getting out of here, and I'm going to wrap up, you know, with God's will and God's blessing. You know, you'll hear from me again, and, you know, 2020 has been a forgettable year, something that we just wish we can take back. But, you know, the good part about it is it's almost over, and, you know, we're going to get through. All right, folks, I am out of here. Peace.
Jesus bled.
And,
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me, I will not lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta admit it, I'm so committed to winning.
Yeah.
I will never see defeat another day that I'm living.
Nah.
Why the devil's still fighting my father when he don't lose? Why he still trying to move him when he can't be moved?
Nah.
The master hater and deceiver wanna see me dead, but I'm alive and live abundantly cause Jesus led.
New and daily, so the negativity in my head.
I've been delivered from fear, so I ain't never scared. Attacked the suffering, living, learning to love again, and count it all joy every time. That's the way it's been. I